Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I'm ecstatic to be talking art with musician, songwriter, and producer Wes Julian, who will be performing with Club Crib at the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival, which will be held August 22nd through 24th in Rock Island. Wes, welcome to Talking Art.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see you. Great to have you on here finally. You're going to be in town soon. You're all over the place, man.
Yeah.
Every time we intersect, I learn more and more about you and about more projects you're involved in and more bands you're involved in. You really just blow me away. So I'm thrilled to have you here. But you're going to be in town. You're a native of Rock Island.
Correct? Absolutely. Born and raised, Rock Island, Illinois.
Excellent. Well, welcome back. You're going to be here for the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival coming up with Club Crib.
Yes.
Which is one of the many bands you play with. I'd love to talk a little bit about Club Crib and the band, but also the festival as a whole, because I know you've been involved with it for years now.
Yeah, so... let's see, Club Crib is a band and a production group out of Chicago, Illinois. That's from my good friends Matthew Skills and Remo Hands. They're coming down. And we're going to do some original music and stuff like that, have a really good time.
So tell me about Club Crib. Like, what's Club Crib's vibe? Because I know jazz takes a lot of different forms.
Yeah. So with us, it's definitely... it has elements of jazz when it comes to improvisation, of course. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of like neo soul, R&B, hip hop, J Dilla type of feels as well that go along with it. It's just really good chill music to just kind of vibe to and just have some fun with.
That's awesome. Well, and that's one thing that in the music of yours that I've had the opportunity to listen to is you mix so many elements into what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that jazz, you've got that hip hop that come in, and that soul, you know, tell me about that. Let's talk a little bit about Club Crib and how that group started. And I'm always really interested to learn how music groups find their sound.
Oh yeah. Cool. So it started off with the homies Nate and Matthew Skills. It started during the pandemic.
Yeah.
A lot of us lost a lot of our gigs. So we had a lot of time to be able to just sit down and literally like be in the crib, as we call it, and just produce and work and write on music. And it just grew from there. And then once outside finally opened back up, the band was kind of formed together, and we started off, you know, we had a residency at this place called The Tonk for 3 years. We had that for a while. We just started a new residency at California Clipper. So, it's called Sunday Fun Day.
Oh, fun.
And yeah, so every Sunday we would be there and we would, and it was an improv set, so we would just literally make up stuff on the spot, then and there, and it's like, okay, whatever happens, happens. Gonna have a good time. And then during the time, we'd also write original music as well. So, yeah, it's been really fun this past, 5 years.
That's awesome. I mean, so many projects came out of that pandemic era.
Absolutely.
It's, and you saw a lot of them, you know, a lot of things start up and then dwindle off. So it's awesome to see that you're still creating music with these guys and still, you know, still growing as artists with them.
Absolutely.
Your primary instrument is drums.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's the makeup of Club Crib?
The main thing we do, at least for what we're going to have coming for this particular show at the Polyrhythm Jazz Fest, is a trio. So drums, bass, and keys. But there's times where we have a percussionist as well. There's other times where we'll also bring in a guitarist. And sometimes, depending on the show that we'll do, we'll even have horns as well. And singers and everything. So it's, it just really depends on the vibe. So it's really a collective of us that come together and we do just different shows and different tributes to artists, and we work on music together.
That's awesome. That's one of the things I love so much about jazz and about the improvisatory nature of it, is you see that so often, just kind of that flexibility with jazz musicians of being able to incorporate other musicians so freely.
Yeah.
And bring people in and out. And I'm sure, like, I know you're a busy guy with all the different projects that you've got going on. Being able to be flexible like that allows you, both musically and professionally, allows all of you guys that freedom to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been great working with those guys. Really talented group of guys. Matthew Skills, Grammy Award bass winning player. Also gold plaque winning producer. So, and Remo Hands, super talented keyboardist. So it's been really great to link up with those guys and develop that bond and friendship and brotherhood that, you know, music brought us together to be able to form that bond. And it's been amazing.
Awesome. Well, and I love that you're coming back home to play at this, the Bill Bell Jazz Festival, as you mentioned, is, you know, put on by Polyrhythms, which has for so long championed jazz here in the Quad Cities, you know, which I think in a lot of ways is underrepresented here in our music scene. And obviously this is, you know, the long time, I don't remember if he was the founder, but the long time kind of godfather of Polyrhythm, Nate Lawrence, who passed away right before the festival last year.
Yeah.
You know, so this is kind of the first festival solely on its own. So I love that you're coming back for that. What's your history with the festival?
Let's see. Actually, in 2018, I was an intern with Polyrhythms, and I helped put together that festival. I've had a long relationship with Nate Lawrence. How old was I? I had to have been about 8, 9 years old when I met him and Shelly Morgai. And they just put me in positions to really just be able to showcase my talent and things of that nature. Taught me a lot of history about the Quad Cities music scene and about the Black American music that comes out of the Quad Cities, and so many figures that have come out, such as, you know, of course, Bill Bell. We have people such as Jesse Johnson and things of that nature from the time, and just and of course we have people like Big Spider that kind of came out as well. But there's just so much history that came from the Quad Cities, and just how music and how the Quad Cities has also played a huge role in the world of music and entertainment that doesn't always get highlighted and championed. And I think that the Bill Bell Jazz Festival does just that. It champions some of those people.
Yeah, and I had no idea when I first moved here about the history of jazz that lived here. You know, it makes sense. Like, the Mississippi River has always had a connection with jazz.
Absolutely.
Starting in New Orleans, and how that music traveled north up the river.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that was, for me, was through Nate, was learning about some of the players that came out of here. And you have recently also completed a project that kind of draws on a lot of that history.
Yeah.
The Griots project.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I was lucky enough to, Avery Pearl sent me over a demo for it. Because it had been, you know, a project that was funded with our one of our Arts Dollars grants. And he sent me over a demo. And a lot of projects, you're like, yeah, we'll see how this turns out. It blew me away. The sound of it, the mix of different musical styles was so good. It was so good. It's such an incredible album. So tell me about, like, what is the Griots Project and how did it come together?
This Griots Project, it was truly just, we wanted to come together to tell the story of the Quad Cities. I think what's happening now in music, we're starting to go towards going back to a regional sound, particularly in like hip hop and things of that nature. So what we wanted to do was incorporate something that was regional, talk about something that was regional and that was created for us and by us, to really be able to tell our story, to be able to talk about Watertown, to be able to talk about Rock Island, Davenport, and just the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, and just tell the story about all the things that we have accomplished, all the things that we've overcome, and be able to put it in the music. So it was really amazing to be able to work on that project and work with other, you know, my friends that are other Quad Cities artists and writers and producers. So it was really amazing to do
that. Yeah, and how did that all come together? What was the genesis for that project?
We were kind of brought the idea. Avery and Tavian, they brought us the idea. And me and Brian Fantana is another really great producer and writer. The both of us really kind of put our heads together. And I think at the time we were in different cities too when we first started working on it. So we both like did our separate demos and then we all brought it together and really kind of made some things work and were able to come home a couple times and be able to just kind of bring everything together.
That's awesome. And you hear that sound of those different voices throughout, which makes it so fun to listen to, because, you know, we talked about kind of the musical fusion in it, but just you have all these different voices that are coming in and, like you said, telling the story of the region and the music that just makes it such a great listen, you know, and it surprises you, you know. That's what I love, is it keeps you off balance in the best way, where you never know what's going to come at you next, whether, you know, it'll be some spoken word thing and then like some crazy jazz improv and then just some like really dope bars dropping.
Yeah. So I think it was really awesome. Again, just great people. You know, you had Big Man G on there, Franco, Rewind, Avery Pearl, Tavian's on there. Then we've got, and then we made sure we incorporated the Polyrhythms jazz trio as well, to kind of, you know, really bring home the fact that this is homebred, and this is something that is from here. And there's a lot of rich history that's here. So we just wanted to be able to not only preserve it, but to be able to push it forward to the next level and where it's supposed to go. Jazz has always pushed the boundaries and been able to find ways to evolve. So we wanted to be able to show that evolution, you know, pay homage to the past while really going towards the future and showing everyone, this is where we're going. This is the next direction.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that I think that's so great about what you're doing as an artist is, you know, obviously you've left the Quad Cities and are kind of based out of Chicago, but you still have a connection and a tie here. for both personally and for your work. But, you know, there's always kind of the great debate, at least that we deal with a lot, of local artists versus outside artists. And I feel like what you have been doing, and it seems like it's a priority for you, is to be able to, you know, go out and work with other artists, you know, outside of the area, but also keep your connections here so that you're able to bring back what you're doing and also take what's happening here out into the world.
It is very, very, very important to me. It's always been important to me. It's always been a part of the plan that I've had for myself, to be able to go out and tell these stories. We need local artists and people from the Quad Cities to be ambassadors of the Quad Cities, to be able to go spread the good news of what we have going on back home, and be able to bring people back. I've had a few artists that I've brought from the Quad, you know, from other areas to the Quad Cities, and they've been like, oh, okay, guys, have something going on here. It's all right. I see you guys, you know. And again, it's super important for us to do that, and for me personally to do that, to be able to bring resources home and bring knowledge home that I learn everywhere else, and even things that I've learned from home, and take that everywhere and teach that to other people. So it's always been a priority, and it'll continue to be. I'll always continue to be an ambassador and rep the Quad Cities everywhere I go. I tell every people, you know, there's people from Chicago who think I'm from Chicago, and I have to remind them, I'm not from Chicago. I love Chicago. I appreciate that I've been embraced by Chicago, but I am Rocktown through and through. And I bleed crimson and gold. I am from the town. I remind everyone of that. I'm from the town. I'm Rock Island bred. I love the Quad Cities.
That's awesome. And you hear it in the music, you know, which is so great. I don't want to classify myself as a hip hop head because I'm not, but I have a lot of like 90s, early 2000s hip hop was kind of like my sweet spot.
Absolutely.
And I'm not as up with new hip hop other than, you know, some of the really, really big names. But like, as far as the Quad Cities hip hop scene, like all I really knew before listening to Griots was Night in Rock Island.
Yeah.
Which is a classic.
Classic, a certified classic. Rest in peace, Chief. Rest in peace, Big Chief.
But it was great hearing this and hearing these local artists, and like they're doing phenomenal work. You know, the level of musicianship from all of you is just blew me away.
Oh no, thank you. We just wanted to highlight that, and to kind of paraphrase something that Andre 3000 would say. The Quad Cities has something to say, and we wanted to say it, and we said it.
Because you mentioned earlier about kind of the regionalism of music, and that coming back. And my first thought when you said that was the Atlanta scene with Outkast and guys from down there. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So that album is going to come out at some point.
Yes.
Is there a date for that yet?
It's soon, hopefully sooner than later. I think there's a couple of things that's being worked out, logistically, but very soon.
Yeah. It's always crazy with, you know, once you get into that production side of things, you know, whether it's an album or a film, like you shoot the film, you record the album, you're like, all right, we did it. And then that back end production stuff.
Yeah.
Just stretch and stretch and stretch. And
yeah. Even just legal things as well, sometimes too, like depending on what you're working on. Now, granted, we recorded all of our stuff as well. We made our own samples and stuff. So we're not necessarily dealing with like clearances or anything. But, you know, just other logistics, just making sure that gets to the right people or there's the right funding for this and that and the third. So. Or making sure that the funding is going to the right places and getting it to the right people. So yeah, it's definitely a task and labor, but labor of love. and something that's worth fighting for, and you know, something I really want to see come out soon. So yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait for the world to hear it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think this just has, you know, it's obviously going to speak to people who are here in the Quad Cities, but it has messages and things to say to everyone. You know, it's universal in that. When I think about, like, writing and films and things, you know, one of the things a lot of people talk about, especially with creating characters, is that the more specific they are, the more universal they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel that you guys nail that on this album.
Oh.
It's very specific to this area, but because of that, there's going to be a ton of people who can relate.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, the one thing I've learned is something that Xavier Roussan, who's another artist that's from the Quad Cities, he had said something about, there's a lot more Quad Cities or Davenports and Rock Islands than there are LA's, New York's, Atlanta's. There's a lot more smaller cities around the country and stuff like that. So us being able to tell our kind of small town story, I think it'll relate to a lot more people who have, you know, those small town, you know, from a small town, but have big city dreams and things of that nature. So I think it kind of speaks to that.
And I think about, you know, it makes me think about, like, when Eminem came out, like, he didn't grow up rich or fancy. Like, he grew up poor. And a lot of people relate to that and heard his music and were like, I get this guy.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is speaking what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Or even what I'm living, what I'm experiencing in this very moment. So we wanted to be very intentional about speaking on our experiences, the things that we have seen. Like I said, the good, the bad, the ugly, and be able to talk about it so that way we can reach people and be like, oh, you know, because everyone just wants to be seen. Everyone wants to know that and be heard, and everyone wants to just know that someone cares. And that was that was another one of the goals of these albums, to just let people know, like, hey, we see you. We are you.
Yeah. When I think about, like, my favorite line in the whole hip-hop canon is from Juicy, when Biggie says, birthdays was the worst days, now we get champagne when we thirsty.
Absolutely.
Everyone relates to that.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, like, we had some bad days, but, like, we're doing all right now. We made it. We're doing okay.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So this is not your only project. Like we talked before, you're a drummer, you produce, you songwrite, you do all these things, and you're also in a band, and you're on tour with them right now out in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot Like Mars.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, Hot Like Mars.
I Like Mars. It's a jam band, but a lot of funk, soul, even some rock influences. Based out of Chicago. We've been on tour quite a bit. We just actually, before we got to, and we're in Colorado now, I forget sometimes where I'm. We travel a lot. We're
playing some big festivals this summer.
Yeah, yeah. We just did Richmond Jazz and Music Festival the other day. Then we did a few other fests. Actually, we flew into Virginia from another festival that we did the previous night. So, and that was in Wisconsin. we've been on the road. We've got an album out that's out now. A couple of other singles. Actually, what's today? The 15th? Actually, we just had a single drop today.
So, all right. Check it out, everyone.
Check it out. Yeah, we just had a single drop today. So, yeah, it's been amazing being on the road with these guys, creating with these guys. And it's been amazing. We've even been to the Quad Cities a couple times. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We were actually earlier this year. We were at Tanglewood.
A couple months ago,
yeah.
That's great.
So, it was great to be able to show those guys, you know, the Quad Cities, and tell them, hey, this is It's my stomping grounds here.
Yeah. Well, it's so awesome. Like, you know, we've talked a little bit just about that, being able to fuse ideas from different areas together, you know, kind of, and being able to bring music back to the area that you're working on. You know, what do you find as a musician, like when you start to collaborate with new musicians, you know, is there something specific that, you know, you look for as a collaborator with someone to that kind of makes you say, like, oh, this is someone that I am really interested in working with? Like, is there a specific thing that you're looking for or that you find inspires you to create the group or that collaboration?
I enjoy working. I'm inspired by inspired people, people who are driven, whether I'm working with artists that are from the Quad Cities or outside of the Quad Cities. It's just about passion. It's about how much you care about the art. People who really just love the art, who share that same passion I do.
Yeah,
I'm always honored to work with them. For me, it's about how can I be an asset? How can I build to the overall art, whether that be songwriting, whether it be production, whether it be engineering, or playing drums or whatever the case, how can I lend whatever I have for the greater art? So that's what I'm always looking for. And those are the things that that I attract as well, you know, so sometimes I don't always look for these opportunities. Sometimes they find me.
People have seen your passion and your drive and say, that guy.
Yeah, exactly. So we're kind of just drawn to each other and that's when the magic happens.
Yeah. So what is your, you know, obviously you do a ton of different things in music. What's kind of the story of that? Did you start as just you were a drummer and then gradually came into songwriting or to producing? Or what's the West Julian story?
Ooh, the story. Okay. Well, I started off, I got my first gig at 6 years old. I started playing drums at Second Baptist Church. Which is another reason why I enjoy the Polyrhythms Jazz Festival, because where it's located, and, you know, at the Martin Luther King Center, it's right across the street from that church. So it's always a reminder for me and just to be grateful. Yeah. So it's always great to have those full circle moments, mm-hmm. you know, to be like, wow, this is where I come from. These are my roots. So to always be able to come back to my roots is always a blessing. Always dope. So I started off playing at church on Sundays at 6, at least consistently. Then I was in other school bands and things of that nature. My mom and dad always wanted me to just be involved in all types of music and learn all kinds. So all the way through college, I went to Western Illinois University. Little Leathernecks. Yeah, I went on a jazz scholarship, so I played in the symphonic orchestra as well. And then actually, before I went to Western, I went to the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences in Arizona, mm-hmm. Where I ended up learning about audio engineering and got even further into production. But I started producing. Made my first beat when I was 11 in one of my uncle's mentor's basement. And after that, I was 15, 16. My mom got me a FL Studio, I think what version was at the time. But started working on that. And there were some guys that were back home. Victor Jones, really great. One of those guys who could do everything. Him and his family his family, actually Curtis is his cousin, Curtis Lewis, the half.
Yeah, we sat on him.
I got close with all that family because a lot of them are musically inclined. So I would produce and write for them. That's how I got my production and writing chops up at 16 years old, just working at it. And that's actually in that same neighborhood where the King Center is at, there was a hair salon called Sisters that Curtis's mom and aunts, and they ran that spot. But upstairs from the salon, there was a studio that they had built out. So we would literally just be in that attic for hours and hours, just putting in time and just practicing. And I would just be there writing and producing and just, you know, doing all those things. So that's how I got my chops up from there. Like I said, after college, I ended up playing and going on my first big tour with Tim Stop, who's another Quad Cities native. So I went on tour with him and we opened for the band Chicago. So we did that. After that tour is when I started, you know, really making my moves in Chicago and started working with a lot of crazy artists. And even up until now, where it's just, I look back at the journey, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, you've got quite the list of artists you've been able to work with in your career. It's incredible.
Yeah. Let's see. Everyone from, let's see, we can go locally to now. Let's see, CJ Parker, who I work with quite a bit now. There's another artist, Gusto G, that I work with. Franco, Big Man G, I've worked with Torian Ball, I've worked with. And then, like I said, up to now, I work with, of course, like Hot Like Mars, or Alicia Monique, who's also lives in Chicago, who's a Rock Island native. We both went to high school together. Mason Moss, he's another Rock Island native. He's in Chicago now. He just got nominated for an award for being a musical director for theater.
Yeah, because he does Broadway shows.
Yeah. So me and him.
Mormon, I think he was on tour with.
He did the Book of Mormon and did, what was the other one? He did another one recently too that he just got nominated for an award for. Was it Jeffrey? Is that the award?
Oh, a Jeff Award?
Yeah, Jeffy. Yeah, just got
the Chicago Theater Awards,
So between them, and then I've worked with people like Peter Cottontail, Taronda Jones. I've done some work with Chance the Rapper. So I've just worked with a lot of really amazing people and artists, and I'm just super grateful.
That's awesome. Well, we're so glad you bring it back home with that.
That's the goal. I'm always going to bring resources back home as often as much as I can.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. My next question was, like, what's the goal? Hey, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you want to be doing?
Within the next 10 years, I would love for the Quad Cities to be a true hub of the arts. These are things and visions I've talked about with a lot of people I've worked with. People like, even like Aubrey Barnes, me and him have this conversation pretty often about the importance of going out and getting this experience and learning all these new things and networking to be able to bring that back home. I think he recently just had an event where he brought some really amazing spoken word artists from out of town to be able to bring them to the Quad Cities. And he's really been just kind of putting a stamp on spoken word and saying that is a thing here. So my goal is, again, for the arts to be able to thrive and for artists as well to be able to thrive from the Quad Cities, to be able to say, you know, the Quad Cities is my home, to be proud to be from the Quad Cities and to be able to share that with the world and be able to travel around the world and be able to display the beauty that comes from the Quad Cities. So my goal is just to, again, just champion that. And as much as I can do to champion that, that's what I'm going to do.
That's awesome. And I think you do a great job of it, because before we had even connected and met, you know, several years ago around Arts Dollars.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking to people around town, they'd be like, oh, you got to meet Wes Julian. You got to meet Wes Julian. So you've left a legacy here, and the fact that you keep connected is, like you said, it's just so important. And I know the area is so grateful for that.
I'm grateful as well. And again, just want to continue to build on that legacy. I feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like I'm just getting started. Like, and that's the dope thing, just to be able to say there's so many things that I see that can happen, and so much potential that we can tap into, and that I believe is also being tapped into, and that's growing. So it's just about remaining consistent and persistent in that process, and being able to go along with the process. I've realized sometimes a lot of artists, particularly from the Quad Cities, it can become discouraging sometimes because you're not getting this type of recognition here or there, or, you know, it can be there's difficulties that come along with being an artist in the Quad Cities. But I just want to make sure that everyone is encouraged to say, as long as you stick with it, it's a marathon and not a sprint. Just go at your pace. Keep going at your pace and keep going. The difference between somebody who makes it and who doesn't, the person who made it, they just didn't quit.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage all QC artists, don't quit.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
You know, and I'm a big sports fan, and, you know, the old adage is like, the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
You know, being able to be there and show up and like, yep, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, thank you so much for joining me today, Wes. It was so great to chat with you and learn more about all these awesome things you're doing. You're going to be playing at, as we said, the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival, and you guys are playing on the 23rd?
Yes, we're on the 23rd.
We're on the 23rd at 6:30.
That's 6:30, yep.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I hope everyone can make it out and check out the whole festival, which is going to be August 22nd through 24th at MLK Park in the ML King Center, both locations. Once again, Wes, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us for Talking Hour. And for more information about Wes, you can check out his socials at Wes Music, spelled M-U-Z-I-K.
Yep.
And also at Hot Like Mars, to check out Hot Like Mars. And you can find more about the Bill Bell Jazz and Heritage Festival at www.polyrhythms.org. I'm Ben Gujan, and this was Talking Art.